Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt has insisted Donald Trump's interventions in British politics won't affect the warmth of his welcome when he begins. The broadcaster and radio executive John Myers has died at the age of 60. He began his career at BBC Radio Cumbria in 1980 and became a popular voice on commercial radio in the north of England, presenting under the name John Morgan. He went on to run The Guardian's radio division and led a government-backed review of the industry in 2009.
Live on the BBC Sounds app, digital radio, and on your smart speaker.
BBC Newcastle, radio for the North East.
And tributes have been paid to former North East broadcaster John Myers, who's died at the age of 60 after suffering a suspected heart attack. The former BBC and Century FM presenter's death was announced by his son, who says it's left a huge hole in their lives. Mr. Myers, who was also known as Morgan in the Morning, launched Century FM in 1994.
Good morning, this is John Morgan on Thursday, the 1st of September. It's 7 a.m. and a star is born.
He became a leading figure in the radio industry, which also included advising the government while picking up a number of awards. He was treated for cancer in 2018, but later in the year revealed that he had been given the all clear. That's your BBC Newcastle News. I'm Stephanie Finnan.
Oh, it's very sad news, isn't it, when there's somebody that you've known passes away. And I think within, you know, within an industry, whatever industry you work in, if it's somebody that's been one of the good guys, it's always very sad. Weather Elf, how's it looking?
It's good. Give me the night.
It's George Benson and Give Me the Night. Smooth Radio on a Monday morning. Hope your weekend was okay. Many of us here at Smooth, a little deflated today. We lost a very dear friend of ours over the weekend, a man who was the driving force behind Smooth Radio for many years. He was the CEO of the company that created Smooth. In fact, Smooth Radio was his idea back in 2004. His name is John Myers, but he was also known here in the Northwest for being a rather amazing radio personality. You may recall John being on the radio here across this part of Britain as John Morgan. But John was a gentleman, a huge influence on many of us in radio, and I have to say, probably one of the most inspiring individuals I've met in my 37 years in radio, and he's going to be very sadly missed, and our thoughts and prayers are with John's family. We've got a travel update coming up.
Okay, we'll talk now about John Myers, who I think you could honestly say was probably the most important figure in British commercial radio since Marconi. John died at the weekend, very suddenly, at the age of 60. In broadcasting, there are very few people who can host the show and run the show, but John was someone who did both, without a doubt. He started out as a station assistant on BBC Radio Cumbria before becoming a presenter and moving to Red Rose Radio and Border TV. He then got into launching radio stations and headed up the Guardian Media Group's radio division. So he developed the Real Radio, Smooth Radio and Rock Radio brands. Even more than the management genius, though, it was John's love for radio itself and his subversive humour that shone through. There was the time when, as a competitor, he padlocked the doors at BBC Radio Cumbria and put a notice on them saying, "For sale, due to lack of listeners or entertainment, any reasonable offer considered." And he famously sacked the presenter of one of his religious programmes because he said, "Your figures are so low, even God's not listening." Our reporter Tim Johns looks back at the stellar career of John Myers.
The radio industry is sort of massive. There are hundreds of stations in the UK catering to the 9 out of 10 adults who tune in every week. The radio industry is also sort of tiny. A relatively small number of key people have for decades been at the forefront of growing and evolving the wonderful medium to which you're listening right now. John Myers was one of those. A giant in the industry, a leader, a pioneer, an entertainer. His radio career started in 1980 at Radio Cumbria. Here's an interview that John recorded in recent years describing how he got his first gig.
I went for the interview and a guy called Mike Gibbons, who's very well known in BBC local radio, he interviewed me. I liked him straight away, big bushy beard. Anyway, he gave me the job and I was a part-time tech op. And then I was only in there, I think, 3 weeks when they came to me and they asked me to do the country show. And I hate country music. I've always disliked it. But, of course, it was a chance to get on air. And a year later, to my embarrassment, really, I won the Country Music of the Year Award. So
John honed his skills as a presenter and a producer, going on to work at Red Rose Radio and Radio Tees. By 1993, he knew the radio business inside out, and he launched CFM in Carlisle.
The man at the helm, the managing director, is John Myers. John, how's it sound?
It sounds like this, Eric. 24 hours a day, you'll hear it in stereo, the best mix of music.
26.4 CFM.
In 94, he went on to launch Century Radio in the North East.
Good morning, this is John Morgan on Thursday, the 1st of September. It's 7 a.m. and a star is born.
Not only did he run the station, but he presented its breakfast show under his pseudonym John Morgan.
Barbara Streisand and a star is born. A very good morning to you. This is John Morgan and welcome to Century.
In 1998, a BBC documentary followed him around as Century FM came to the Northwest.
It's a war out there. There are 22 other stations directly competing with us for listeners, because the more listeners you have, the more money you make.
MD John Myers is spending a small fortune on fancy studios, publicity and presenters.
He would go on to launch many more radio stations as the managing director of the Guardian Media Group, including Real Radio and Smooth. And with his vast experience, he went on to complete a number of high-profile consultations and reports on the wider radio industry, shaping its future.
I guess that's part of my nature, not accepting the status quo. There has to be another way of doing it. Perhaps there's a better way of doing it.
On social media yesterday, the sheer volume of tributes to John Myers was quite incredible. It seems he was a colleague, a boss, a mentor, an advisor, and a friend to hundreds and hundreds of people. John once explained how he'd one day like to be remembered. That day has come too soon, but there's no question that he's met and gone far, far beyond what he'd hoped for.
I think at the end, when someone's looking down and someone says, John Myers, what did you think? I think if people said, he made a difference, and he was a nice guy, I think that's the best anyone can hope for.
That was Tim Johns, our reporter, paying tribute to John Myers, who died on Saturday at the very young age of 60. Let's talk, first of all, to Phil Riley, who is a close friend of John's, former chief executive of Chrysalis Radio. Yes, he made a difference, and he was a lovely guy, Phil.
Both of those things, Jeremy. He was somebody who... really, everybody in the radio industry loved him. He was just a magnificent guy. I mean, he was larger than life, I think was said at the beginning. It should be pointed out to people who have never met John, he was genuinely larger than life. He was about 6'3", 6'4", broad-shouldered, just a huge bear of a man, and you could tell there a huge, deep voice. And he just had this presence. When he came into a room, he was the centre of attention. He was also one of those men who everything, the glass was always half full with him. Everything was positive. Look on the bright side of life all the time. So whenever he was around, there was a sense of energy in the air. He was just that dramatic sort of person that everybody was drawn to. Fabulous guy.
And he had the skills were incredible, because on the one hand he was a broadcaster and a very good one, but on the other hand he was a brilliant entrepreneur, wasn't he?
He was. In fact, I've just written a piece for Campaign magazine, the industry magazine for advertising, and I said exactly that. He had these two skill sets. One was he had the broadcaster's flair for knowing what was going to work on the air, and he had the entrepreneurial nous to spot a gap in the market. In fact, in the mid-90s, the thing that he spotted that the rest of us didn't or couldn't do was to say, even though we might all think the listeners want lots of music, the regulators who were handing out the licenses wanted more than that. And he almost single-handedly created this format, the Century format, the Real format, which was lots of music, but interspersed with speech, and enough speech that the regulators felt they couldn't not give him the license, because this was so much more than just the pop and prattle that the rest of us were accused of offering to people. And if there was a land grab for radio licenses in the 90s, John won it by being different, by seeing an opportunity and going out and making a wonderful pitch. It was a unique combination of skills that he had.
Even though he was a commercial man at heart, he did kind of love the BBC from a distance, didn't he?
Oh, he loved the BBC. He loved BBC local radio. Even to this day, one of his passions is BBC local radio and trying to make sure that that works. And the other thing that he was passionate about, and you, I know, said it on social media yesterday, Jeremy, he was the best controller Radio 2 never had. He would have absolutely loved to be Radio 2 controller. And it was one of the sadnesses in his life, I think, that on a couple of occasions that the stars almost aligned and it just didn't quite work for him. But I know that had he been in that position to take on that role, he would have been fantastic. I also know that he was very close to becoming a trustee of the BBC. He was very close to very senior positions inside the BBC. And again, you know, so many times in his life, if the stars had just aligned in a different way, he'd have gone on to be... he was influential for the BBC because the rise of commercial radio, you know, has forced the BBC to change and respond. So John was partly responsible for that, but he could have done so much more, even I think than he did.
Well, 60 is so young these days, and I know you were just out having dinner with him a couple of nights ago.
We had a lunch last Wednesday, and this is typical of John. I know that Wednesday morning he was seeing two of the biggest names in commercial radio, two of the big chief execs of the major groups. He came straight to lunch with me and an old friend of ours, and the first thing he did was interrogate the waitress for 5 minutes on where she'd come from, what she was doing, was she being treated well, did she get the tips from the restaurant. He was... That old phrase about commoners and kings, that was John to a T. He could talk to the biggest people in the industry, but then turn his attention to making sure the lowliest person in the room was well looked after too. That was the measure of the man.
And I should can't let you go without using the word team. That was his biggest word.
It was. And the reason he used the word team, a bit like in the same way as Dickie Attenborough used the word darling, was that so many people knew John. He was known by so many people, he simply couldn't remember everybody's name. So he came up with this idea, well, I'm just going to call everybody team because that's how I think they all are. They're all part of my team. And so I'm just going to call them all team. And everybody called him team and he called everybody team. And yesterday on social media, we got RIP team trending across the UK, which was wonderful. And that would have, you know, as a big social media user himself, he would have loved to have known that he was trending.
Thank you so much, Phil. Phil Riley, close friend of John Myers, who's the most supportive man, wonderful, beautiful man. David Lloyd also knows John, knew John, and I think I would call you a radio industry historian, David, because what we used, actually, a clip you'd had from an interview with him, didn't we, in that package by Tim Johns. So give us your thoughts.
John, I worked for John for many years, and there's no one quite like him. I mean, leadership is often spoken about, isn't it? But rarely demonstrated. You wanted to follow John. He rarely wrote anything down. I can't remember sitting in one meeting of any sort with John. There were always conversations. You know, he'd sit back, he'd listen to a few radio station jingles, which he loved, and then he'd tell you a few stories, and then you'd talk about something to do with business. He carried it on pure influence, and it was a privilege to work for him. He hired me almost by accident, as he did most people. He hired people because he wanted to work with you before he even found out what job he wanted you to do.
He when he was in this period where he was running stations and also doing the breakfast show, which was his way of, I guess, saving money, there was a famous story where somebody called him as the controller to ask for the breakfast show presenter to be fired.
Yeah, of course.
Without realising it was the same person.
That's right. Of course, with being John Morgan on air and John Myers in real life, he was able to be the managing director post 9 o'clock and speak to the listeners who were complaining about him, and you can imagine the sort of conversation they had. You know, he stuck up for himself clearly, but he also stuck up for his other presenters. You know, if they pushed the limits a little bit and he agreed with them, he would support you to the hilt. You know, you couldn't wish for a better boss than John.
I think one of the listeners who asked John Morgan to be sacked, he said, I have given him a final warning. Not realizing it, saying that it was actually himself. But yeah, I think he also was in the habit, when people complained too much, of sending them a letter saying that they weren't allowed to listen to the radio station anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there are sometimes, you know, complainants should be taken seriously, and he did all that because he was also a very, it's strange, he was a conflicted in a sense. He was a very quiet, intelligent, considered operator. But once he'd done all that bit, then he became John Performance. And if a listener was really annoying him and was being unreasonable, he told them so.
Thank you very much, David Lloyd, radio industry historian who worked with John at Century Radio. And before David, it was Phil Riley, a very close friend of John Myers. And obviously we're thinking of John's family, Linda, his wife, and the whole family, children, grandchildren, at a very difficult time because he did die so suddenly. Every time he launched a radio station, he would play this record, which is from A Star Is Born, and it's Barbara Streisand singing Evergreen. Every time John Myers launched a radio station, he would play that record first, Barbara Streisand. Often, as we were saying, he would be the managing director of the station and the breakfast show presenter to save money. And he wrote his autobiography a few years ago. If you love radio, it's called Team It's Only Radio, and it's hilarious from start to finish. Chris Hillman is in Selside, Cumbria, which is John's home patch. I've known John Myers for as long as I can remember, he says. I first met him on board a telly when he was a continuity announcer. Then we started a business together. I spent a lot of time with him. He was a great man. He pushed through every challenge and he was so humble. And I would say for presenters here at Radio 2, he supported every single one of us from a distance. He'd be texting about programs and asking how you were. I was going to meet him for a cup of coffee tomorrow, actually, in my diary still. Stephen Bell in Newby Bridge, Lake District, says John will be missed greatly, especially in the Northeast. I remember his wind-ups very well, particularly the one where he called up a bus company to report that he'd lost a pigeon on their bus. He did great work for charity too. It's very sad. I think was there something with a Great North Run where he got the radio station bus to break down in front of its competitor's advert and they couldn't move it? Let's hear from Andy Peebles, great figure in the radio industry himself. Hi, Andy.
Good afternoon, Jeremy.
Such a sad day and sad news to report, isn't it?
Well, I did say on Facebook, whoever runs Radio Heaven will have to move over because Team has arrived and he would want to organise things in his own special way. Mm. I must be honest with you, until I was approached to work for him at Smooth Radio, I didn't really know very much about him. But I was very lucky in 47 years in radio before I retired to work for two brilliant controllers at Radio 1, Derek Chinnery and Johnny Beerling, the legendary Philip Birch at Piccadilly Radio in Manchester. Philip had run the pirate station Radio London, of course. And then on to work for Jim Moore and Leslie Douglas at Radio 2 for a few years, and then for John. And I really must mention his partner in radio crime, John Simons. The two of them were a terrific combination. And the great thing about John is that nobody's said it so far, so I say it. I think he took a risk putting himself on air because, you know, Jeremy, we're all cynical, aren't we? And we all go, oh, dear, oh, dear. What's he just done? I'd never do that. But he was very, very professional and very good at it. So I kind of respected him for the fact that he had the nerve. You've talked about the fact that it was a cost-saving exercise. I think he adored radio. And
yes,
I think
he did,
like
yeah.
Most of us, he was incredibly happy when he was actually on air.
And what sort of person would you describe him as?
Delightful and very amusing. Wonderful sense of humour. I think the great thing about John, Jeremy, for me, was the fact that he was one of the troops. He was down on the floor. He would come and talk to you about a record he'd heard you play or something you'd said. So that made you feel good because you thought, here's a boss who actually listens and cares. I mean, the great malaise of controllers at BBC Radio, I always used to say, was that they spent so much time in meetings, they never heard their own output. Whereas John seemed to be across that, and he knew what was going on.
Yeah.
He was tough. He wouldn't countenance anything but 101% professionalism, but he could be very giving, and that's what I liked about him, the fact that he would come and talk to you, and he'd be very, very generous in doing it.
Thank you, Andy Peebles, very much indeed. Karen Little is in Maryport in Cumbria. Did you used to phone into one of his programmes?
Yes, I used to phone in quite a lot, actually. I'd won numerous T-shirts from his programmes and mugs. I've got two mugs still to this day. I actually sent him a photograph on Facebook that messaged him saying I still had these mugs last week.
Oh, how what a sad thing! And this was Century, was it?
Yes, it's Century Radio in the northeast, right under where the Tyne Bridge is.
Did you ever get a chance to go in the studio and meet him?
I did, yes. When it was their first birthday, I used to bake and decorate a lot of cakes. And I made this great big cake for their birthday with their logo on and phoned him up on the Sunday morning and asked if I could go and take the cake in. He said, certainly. I took my daughter with me. And it was absolutely fantastic. And my daughter was a bit nervous at first, but he was joking on with her, getting her to press all these buttons, turning the music on, and it comes down onto the level with the children as well as the adults. He was fantastic.
So he was as nice in person as you had hoped and expected?
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah.
And some of the things he used to come out with on the radio and on board TV as well. He had all these little toys when he was reading the birthday cards out for the kids. Fearless Fred, the fireman, he can't fight fires, he would say. And then as he was closing down, he'd say, good night, everyone. Make sure you don't forget to lock your windows and doors and don't forget to kick the cat out.
It's so lovely that our little tribute to John here ends with one of his listeners. I think that's the most beautiful thing, Karen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Really appreciated. Karen Little, who was a listener to John Myers' programmes for Century FM in the Northeast and Cumbria, and we appreciate your time very much. There we go, remembering a radio great.
Makes me feel fine. Summer breeze makes me feel fine. Well, come on, it's June. Seals and Crofts. 4:12. Well, as you heard earlier on Jeremy's show, tributes continue to be paid to radio presenter and executive and program controller John Myers, who many people will remember presenting shows on Century FM as John Morgan, others remembering him as a controller on commercial radio stations, including Smooth. He also did a little bit of consulting here at Radio 2 just a few years back. John died suddenly at the weekend, aged 60. Christian O'Connell said he was stunned, calling him a great man and a friend to me. Kate Burley tweets that John was a giant among men, and Mark Goodyear remembers him as an amazing man who inspired everybody who met him. Now, BBC Radio Cumbria will repeat the special programme, John Myers' Life Story. It's tomorrow night between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m. If you're outside Cumbria, you'll be able to hear that via the BBC Sounds app. I, too, admired his work, and like everybody in the radio industry, you know, we will miss him. Rest in peace, John. The big guy falls silent, but not forgotten. Now, there are rumours circulating that Billie Piper is to return to Doctor Who as her character, Rose